This Dana Show podcast brought to you by Air Comfort Service Heating and Cooling. Need service, maintenance, or a new HVAC system? Air Comfort Service works 24/7, keeping area homes and businesses comfortable. If you have a heating and cooling problem, visit aircomfortservice.com.
Dana Lash is off and running, generating the buzz.
All bets are off at this point.
You have America's soul, and you connect with people.
Dana, you and I are blood brothers for the American dream.
Dana Lash, the conservative alternative. This is The Dana Show.
That's right. The Dana Show on FM News Talk 97.1. 971talk.com/Dana. StacyOnTheRight.com. No slash, just StacyOnTheRight.com. Tweet me. Tell me what you think of this amazing endeavor I've undertaken for a Friday afternoon. Flew home early from vacation to sit right here in this chair and talk to all of you. Call me, 866-455-9797 or 314-969-9797. Call me up. Talk to me. I want to hear what you have to say. And let's get into it. Everyone has heard about this Rolling Stone cover with Sarnev, the Boston bomber, the surviving Boston bomber. His picture is on the cover, and it's not a picture of him, you know, bloodied up after his altercations with the police. It's a picture of him looking almost like he could be a part of a rock band with Justin Bieber. And, of course, people are outraged, and no one's planning on covering this or actually putting this on their store shelves. Everyone's talking about it. Everybody's mad. There was even an amazing response from two twin brothers. They're twins. They were in the race together. Each of them lost a leg. They were in People magazine, and they, on social media, on Facebook, wrote a scathing letter to the Rolling Stone editor and said, this is the picture you should have had on the cover, and it's the two of them, one of them pushing the other in a wheelchair. They're a success story, people who are moving forward slowly but surely, healing from this horrific tragedy. It was an act of terrorism, and we should not be celebrating people who perpetrate terrorism on our shores. So it was kind of interesting to me when I found out that WorldNet Daily is covering this story, that the Nuge, who I regularly, I love his quote so much. If there's a meme with Ted Nugent on it, you better believe I'm putting it on Black Conservative Political Action on Facebook. And I usually can get 500,000 people put their eyeballs on a meme from Ted Nugent. That's how popular he is. That's how much people are so sick of the PC and the bullcrap that we've been going through in this country. So it was kind of funny when I was reading this story and seeing that Ted Nugent, who was featured in 1979 on a Rolling Stone cover story, this is the quote from him. Though Rolling Stone magazine is mostly dope-inspired leftist tripe, I happen to applaud them and their writer, Janet Reitman, for a thorough, comprehensive expose of terrorist murderer Dzhokhar Tsarnaev, Nugent told WorldNet Daily. It's important the young readers of Rolling Stone know how a fellow dope smoker lost his mind and doped his way into the evil, brain-dead Islamist terrorism and the horror he wreaked on innocent Americans. Now, you know, Tsarnaev, he may possibly face the death penalty. He's pled not guilty because, dude, he was not hiding in that boat because he did terrorism that day. He was just hanging out, you know, gunshot wound be damned. And one of the federal charges that he's accused of is using a weapon of mass destruction to kill. And Tamerlan was killed in the shootout with the police. They allegedly, I don't know why we have to say that, but allegedly placed two bombs near the finish line. So what do you think about that? What do you think about Ted Nugent saying that this cover actually can be used for good and that, you know, kids, dope smokers, potheads, whatever, they're going to see this cover, they're going to read the article about him, and they're going to understand that smoking dope and being a pothead and being a loser can actually lead you to a path of destruction if you happen to become an Islamist. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I'm with Ted here. I'm usually right behind him like, yeah, yeah, but this one is a bit much for me. So, yeah, call me up and talk about it, 866-455-9797. Anywho, yeah.
I think his whole point is, and I heard them talking about this, is that he wants people to see the face of terrorism. But it shouldn't be on Rolling Stone, and it shouldn't be a picture of the guy looking like he just got a record deal. That's yeah. the big deal. That's yeah. the big deal in it.
There are other pictures, right? Isn't yeah, there another tons. Picture that could be used of him?
The Boston, it was Boston Police Department or a cop in the Massachusetts area. He released a picture of the guy surrendering when he got out of the boat. You know, because he didn't do anything and he's hiding out in a boat getting shot at by the police. Maybe they should have put something like that on there. You know, it's the fact that they use something that's probably on his Twitter feed or something like that. Or they took one of his Facebook pictures and put it on the cover of the Rolling Stone. It's a little ridiculous.
I'm telling you, he looks doe-eyed and his hair's all curly and he just looks like, you know, he literally looks like he's auditioning on The Voice or America's, you know, Next Top Model or Idol or something. He doesn't look like the guy we all know. Carefully and meticulously planned out how to kill and maim and then set the backpack down next to an 8-year-old boy.
Yeah.
I mean, premeditated, the very worst kind of killing, mass murder on our shores. You know what? Let's go to Jeff and see what he thinks about this. Hey, Jeff.
Yeah, you're doing a great job on the show. I'm enjoying it.
Thanks.
Yeah. I obviously disagree with romanticizing and glamorizing this kid on Rolling Stone, but you know what's really odd is that everyone seems to be missing the point that the quote-unquote third guy that was at the scene was related to Osama bin Laden and happened to be there that weekend and suddenly disappeared into Saudi.
And then possibly showed back up at the White House for some kind of event? Because there's been all kinds of sightings of this guy now that he's supposedly been shipped off to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. That's so hush-hush, it makes you sick. I mean, I hate that all those people were, you know, maimed, injured, dead. But there's a much bigger problem.
Yeah, where is that guy?
Than the two guys in the bombing. I mean, you never hear anything about that.
Wow. You know what? Thanks for calling, Jeff. That's a fantastic point. Yeah, so let's go to another person who has something interesting. Hey, Melissa, welcome to the Dana Show.
Hey, Stacey?
Yeah.
Hi, this is Millie Melissa.
What? How you doing?
Anyway, what I wanted to make a comment about, you sound great, by the way.
Thank you.
The cover, I cannot believe that they would glorify, I think Ted Nugent is completely stretching on that. To me, it glorifies him, makes him look like a rock star, and pretty much just makes him, people are going to sympathize with him because it'll make him look human.
You know, you're right. There happen to be a couple thousand people who have a Facebook page that are supporting him, and they're mostly women. And there are a lot of people who feel like he had his rights infringed upon during the chase and afterwards where he wasn't immediately Mirandized, and they are dead set on supporting him. And you know, this happens with every mass murderer. They'll have someone that wants to marry them. You know, whacked out chicks who they don't have two brain cells to run together. No synapses firing. And that's what we have going on here. It's just on a larger scale because this tragedy reached all over the United States. But you're right, Melissa. This is a load of bull crap.
It is.
I mean, I'm glad that Walgreens and CVS are not going to carry the magazine because of the cover.
I think it's important that they don't. And I hope other people who sell that magazine will not put it on.
Me too.
All right.
It was so awesome to talk to you. Thanks, Melissa.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Melissa's one of my Facebook friends. She's also good friends with Dana. She's a regular listener. You know what, guys? It's time for me to tell you what we're going to talk about in a minute, which is Tales from the Blackballed. Do you want to go to the NAACP and speak? Well, they're not going to let you if you are a black conservative. I'll tell you that. Rock out with me to Tron and keep it here. 97.1 FM News Talk.
This is The Dana Show.
Talk lines are open now at 314-969-9797 or toll free at 866-455-9797. You're listening to The Dana Show.
We're back. It's still me, Stacy. Stacy on the right, stacyontheright.com. Please call me. Don't make me cry. 1-866-455-9797 or 314-969-9797. If you called in earlier and you got hung up on, that's because It's only my third time working the board. Don't hate the player. Hate the game.
It happens. I mean, you had the devil voice today, you know.
Exactly. Excuse me, did I not have the devil voice in the first hour? If you missed that, you can go to 971talk.com and click on one of the faces, the Dana face.
Yeah.
And then on the right-hand side in the drop-down menu, you can choose to listen to the podcast. You can download that puppy and you can listen to me talk to you in the devil voice over and over and over again. That'll make you happy, I guarantee it. Or you can just listen to the whole show all over again. Wow, the call lines have lit the heck up. Okay, well, you know what? So, dudes, listen. Yeah, we got to talk about this Detroit thing again. We got to talk about how black conservatives were blackballed from the NAACP convention. So I wrote a piece about this on the website for website FreedomWorks. You can go there, freedomworks.org, and check out my article. It's really good. I interviewed Deneen Borelli and C.L. Bryant, and we talked about how they had initially reached out to the NAACP because they had their 102nd annual convention that just went on last weekend up until this past Thursday, so yesterday. And they were basically just saying, can we come on and present the opposing view? We want to talk about liberty, freedom, entrepreneurship, yada, yada, yada. The leadership told them, no, you cannot come and speak to the convention. Our slate's already full. And they asked weeks ago, so it's not like they were last minute. Then they said, okay, if you don't have any room for us to speak, that's fine. You know, we understand that. We'd like to just rent some booth space. And you know at conventions they have booth space. And oftentimes they'll have people who have an opposing view. We'll have a booth there for anyone who's interested in hearing what they brought, looking at their materials. They'll be there. And they just sit at the booth and you come and you can take their materials. You can walk by. It's not a requirement that you participate. So they were surprised when they were told by the NAACP, we are sold out. We don't have any more booth space available. Maybe next year. So Deneen and C.L. Bryant, both of them are leaders in the conservative movement. Both of them work with FreedomWorks and other organizations. They basically said, okay, awesome. We will just buy regular admission, general admission. We'll attend the conference. Boy, were they ever welcomed. They didn't speak to senior leadership while they were there, obviously. They spoke to the people who were conference attendees and said, would you have listened? Would you have gotten up and walked off if I had been up there talking about FreedomWorks and what we do to advance entrepreneurship, to teach people about clean energy that's also responsible, that doesn't involve, you know, shutting down our major sources of coal and things like that. And everyone that they spoke with, and they didn't speak with all of the attendees, but they did interview quite a few people. All of them were receptive to at least hearing about the work of FreedomWorks, hearing about empower.org. So it was pretty funny that the NAACP felt like they had to censor these two black conservatives from speaking at their convention, which is a convention for the advancement of colored people. It's kind of funny that that was not permitted. You know what? I'm going to take a couple of calls. I think I'm going to talk to Thomas. Thomas wants to talk about what we're talking about. Hey, Thomas. Welcome to The Dana Show. Stacey.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Now, I don't want you to feel weird about this, but I didn't know. I saw him on TV. Sean Hannity had a panel of black conservatives,
yeah.
And I work in law enforcement in a predominantly black neighborhood, and it's like they're all drones. You can't talk to them. That it's just you're wasting your time. And now I heard one. Now there's one on the radio, so it's almost like real life. I mean, it's like hologram. I mean, oh my God, somebody that actually believes in capitalism, somebody that believes in playing by the rules. Wow, and they're not just looking for handouts and free stuff. Whoa, is this? Could it be real? I mean, wow.
This is happening to you right now. That just happened to you. You're talking to one of those people. You are live on the air with one of those people, and I'm real. I'm not wearing a Stacey suit.
And I thank God for it, too, because, I mean, first of all, it's a disgrace that the NAACP would not let both sides of the coin be displayed, you know?
Doesn't it kind of speak to how fragile they think their message is?
I think that as well as, yeah, they don't want competition. They want to always say, okay, we're going to be behind the left wing all the time. We're going to be behind the Democrats. You can always count on this block of votes.
Well,
you know?
And you know what? In the article, I asked Deneen and CL both, how do we get around that? And what was it that they focused on? If they didn't want you to speak, what was the focus of the convention? And do you know they used Trayvon Martin, the slain young man from Florida, they used his picture all over the convention. They used him like a prop. There was a huge picture of him behind Ben Jealous, the president of the NAACP, while he gave his keynote address. Eric Holder, who's supposed to be administering justice and trying people and keeping a fair, clean system, was there whipping up animosity towards gun owners. And they basically had an all-encompassing agenda of making everyone focus on the emotional, racial portions of the Trayvon Martin tragedy, as opposed to talking about ways to get people working, to get people better educations, to reduce violence in inner cities, to reduce the abortion rate in the black community, to increase fathers in the households, to get people off of welfare. So many problems plaguing the black community, and the NAACP used to be at the cutting edge of solving those types of difficulties, and instead, they spent their time whipping up racial animosity and hatred, and it was pretty sad.
It is sad. It is sad because, like you said, years ago, the organization was on the cutting edge, and now it's at a point of where it's kind of like a hammer, political hammer. And you know what? Any way you look at it, that whole situation was tragic, and it's done. It's over with. A jury spoke. That's the way the system's supposed to work. But then there's kids out there that, and I do mean adult children, man-child, Eric Holder be one, the president's another, that they're just like stomping their feet and they're having a tantrum because it didn't go their way. Well, we've got to figure out a way of making it go our way. We're going to cheat now. We're going to have to pull some stunt, whatever that is going to be.
Yeah, they're like a dog with a bone. They're never going to let it go. It's just pathetic. But you know what? Thanks for calling in, Thomas. I appreciate you.
Hey, thanks for being there. I appreciate it. I just went online and looked at your website. And your husband is a lucky man. You tell him that when you go home.
You know, when I pick him up at the airport tonight, I'm going to tell him Thomas, who is a law enforcement officer, said you're a lucky man. Appreciate this.
No
Straight
problem.
Straight to the mall we go. Thanks,
Thank
Thomas.
God. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Well, let's see. How about we talk to one more call? Tom. We have someone named Tom. Hey, Tom, welcome to The Dana Show. I'm Stacy, sitting in the big
chair. Hi, Stacy. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Regarding Obama's speech, where he said that 35 years ago, Trayvon Martin could have been him. Well, I applaud him because he's finally come clean and admitted that he's a thug.
I thought about that, too. I mean, this is breaking news, everyone. If you are at work and you're not plugged into the news right now, the president just came out with another racially incendiary comment saying that 30 years ago, he was Trayvon Martin, which, if we're going to be honest, means that he was a drug-abusing, thugged-out MMA-style fighter who preferred to be suspended from school rather than being in school. That's pretty damning, don't you think?
Exactly. And, you know, only in Obama's America can a brown man kill a black man and a white man be blamed for it.
You know what? The only thing they haven't done so far is blame Bush. But I wouldn't put it out of my mind just yet. That could still happen. Oh, man. Yeah. Thanks for calling, Tom.
Thank you.
Wow. You know what, guys? Another segment down. I require your listening, and I appreciate it. You're listening to The Dana Show with Stacy Washington sitting in the chair on FM News Talk 97.1.
As long as it was deep, yeah. You always knew to wear it well. And you look so fancy, I can tell. Talking in your sleep. I guess you're just what I need.
This is The Dana Show.
I guess you're just what I need. Just what I need.
Talk lines are open now at 314-969-9797 or toll free at 866-455-9797. You're listening to The Dana Show.
When it's time to get away, away from the stresses of your work and responsibilities, you can always find solace in the welcome arms of your friend Detroit, where the last thing anybody finds is a job, and the furthest thing from anyone's mind is responsibility. A city where its citizens greet you with a warm hello and toothless meth grins. A place where the sunrise is as eager to spend its morning with you as the crackheads who line its streets. Where the unemployment is so high that its proud citizens can enjoy enough time to slow down as they contribute to the country's worst murder rate. A place where 7 out of 10 of those murders go completely unsolved. And if the gangs don't get you, the roaming packs of wild dogs will. It's a city that's eating itself alive and been entirely run by Democrats and unions since 1961, where a Republican scapegoat is just as elusive as any end in sight.
And that that fantasticality is Stephen Crowder, louderwithcrowder.com. He's a Fox News contributor and newlywed. His wife is fantastic. She's sweet and great personality. She's just a perfect match for Stephen, who is a friend, and I'm so pleased to be on the air right now to welcome him to the Dana Show. Hi, Stephen. How are you? Stephen.
Hello, yes.
I'm sorry. I'm new at the call buttons, but this thing's blinking, so you can hear me, right?
Yes, I can. Does that mean we're on air?
We are on air. You're live on the Dana Show with Stacey on the right, sitting in the hot seat.
Oh, very nice. Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here, Stacey. Appreciate that that glowing introduction. Now, do you get the Pure Michigan ads where you are in the country?
No, I don't, but I have seen them because last night when I saw, actually, the Right Scoop has your Pure Detroit. It's fantastic. They have it up. I watched it, and I was like, I've got to use this clip tomorrow because I'm going to be talking to Stephen. This is so perfect. And then, of course, I Googled the Pure Michigan, and I totally get it. Totally.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, there you go. Yeah, there's a parody there, but listen, I'm going to be honest, I was just taking a nap before I spoke because I was up all night and got up to read this comment from Barack Obama. So knowing, of course, that I was going to be on the phone with you, Stacey, right now I'm clutching my purse very tightly.
Okay. All right. Don't clutch it too hard. I don't want you to hurt yourself because I can't actually rob you from over the phone. But the next time I see you at a conference, I will definitely pick your pocket.
Yes, exactly. You know, have you been talking about that comment here on air?
You know, we just touched on it because, I mean, he just made this statement a little bit ago. And, I mentioned it and a caller and I discussed it. It's so ridiculous, so insulting. He just, you know, it's like whenever you think he can't go any lower, he's like,
right.
Yes, I can.
Right. Yes, I can.
Yes, I can.
Hope, just hope and believe in the thing. Here's the thing. Stacey, you can tell me this as a Black American. I genuinely believe this, and I had a friend say this to me. I believe that, of course, we live. I'm pretty young. A lot of people don't know out there. You know, in my 20s, I grew up in a post-racial America. I really did. Barack Obama is also president. A Black man has achieved the highest office in all the United States. And the one good thing to come from that, and I think we've talked about this before, is, you know, at least some healing needed to take place. And people can see, okay, there is no institutionalized racism. They're going to have individual racists, of course, always. And it's a terrible fact of life. And it's sad. And of course, we're all unhappy with it. But institutionalized racism in the United States no longer exists. Now, that being said, because Democrats have had to keep racism alive. Since Barack Obama's been president, they have literally at every turn made any single political opposition from conservatives out to be racist. Well, you don't support Barack Obama's health care plan, you're racist. Well, you don't support immigration reform, you're racist. Well, you don't support Barack Obama's taxing, that's because you're racist. And the same thing with Zimmerman. This guy got off because we had a court system in place, because he was not found guilty through a verdict through a jury, by the way, which some of the people were Black. And it's, no, you're racist. The only reason George Zimmerman got off is because the country is racist. And I have to say, I believe genuinely that right now in the United States in 2013, racial tensions are arguably as bad as they've ever been since the 1960s.
And I'm right there with you. I cannot think of a time other than maybe the Rodney King verdict where the rioting was going on.
Right.
The tenor right now is at that level. And what makes it so, it's unfathomable. Unfathomable. It's just ridiculous that we're sitting here. I'm sitting here in the studio on the radio channel of a conservative talk radio network, the number one in St. Louis. You know what I mean? This is not a tiny endeavor.
Right.
I'm sitting here. I happen to be black. I don't refer to myself as a black American, but the fact is I am a black American. And I mean, there's just so much proof all around us that institutionalized racism is a thing of the past. I do bump into people who I don't call them racial. I call them ignorant. They're ignorant.
Right.
And they, you know, they treat me whatever their problem is. It doesn't have to be my race. They could just be a-holes. You know what I mean? It
right.
doesn't have to always be about race. But the fact is, I encounter these dimwits all the time.
Right.
But does that mean that I'm living in an institutionally racial environment? Absolutely not. And my personal relationships prove that that's just not true. So I think,
well,
it's just sad.
I wanted to get your point of view on it, because I had a friend who said, a wealthy friend who actually said, he said, listen, he said, you know me. He said, I've never had a prejudice bone in my body. He employs a lot of people. He said, you know, I employ plenty of black people here at my company. He said, but it's made me, the last few weeks, he said, Stephen, I got to tell you, I have thought about race more than I have in the three decades before it, over these last few weeks of the news cycle. He said, it's not something that crosses my mind. And now these people, he said, they don't make me racist, but now this media, this news cycle, the way the political polarization has made me think about race constantly. And he said, I can't believe it. I've never thought this way, but because of how the media has been portraying these stories and how they've been trying to keep this alive, he said, it puts it at the forefront of my mind, and I hate myself for that. And I heard him say that, and I said, you know what? I don't think that's abnormal for a lot of Americans, because right now it's been thrust in everyone's face. And you go on Twitter, Stacey, you know what really breaks my heart? I talked about this with Dana. And the reason I'm bringing it up is because of this Detroit video, right? I came out and talked about Detroit. Detroit filed for bankruptcy. Now, I've covered Detroit for a long time. Detroit has filed for bankruptcy through a long-standing, cozy, corrupt relationship between politicians, entirely Democrats since 1961, and strong-arming unions. Detroit has been the entitlement city, and so it's collapsed under its own weight. It should have collapsed a long time ago, if not for bailout after bailout. Now, people say that video is racist because there happen to be a lot of black people in Detroit proper. For people to go on and perpetuate this lie, what really breaks my heart is you go on Twitter right now, and you just top search query right now is Trayvon Martin. It's in the top 10. And you go and you see black people across the country who genuinely believe that George Zimmerman, A, is a white guy, not a Latino, who genuinely believe that George Zimmerman is a white guy who went out that night to find an innocent black child to murder. And they believe that a majority of Americans believe that and support that. And the fact that there are people in this country who believe that is very saddening to me. It's very sad. There's no other way to put it.
And it's depressing, because some of the mail that I've been getting, and we're going to have this in the third hour, some of my hate mail. Dana has Mailbag of Hate. I'm going to do it, Stacey on the Right Style, and read some of it to you. It's all about the fact that I'm betraying my own race by just feeling like the Zimmerman verdict was correct. It was a simple case of self-defense. And you know what, Stephen? I'm with you. I'm depressed by it, too, because it's so far away from what is really the true American experience. And I believe my experience is indicative of what most black Americans have experienced. There is
sure.
racism, but it's not widespread, rampant, daily occurrence type stuff.
Well, you want to know where it is? You want to know who has experienced a lot of press? You know, and a lot of people try and act as though, and I guess this, you'll go on Twitter all the time. Right now, is I've hit the trifecta of privilege. I'm white, straight, male. Has anyone in this country tried being an English Canadian in French Canada? Do you realize that I wasn't allowed to go to English school? Do you realize that? Do you realize I wasn't allowed to read English menus? That if I wanted to open an English restaurant, Stephen's Diner, I can't. It has to be in French. I can't have the apostrophe S. Any signage I have has to be 5 times the size of the English writing in French writing. Do people realize out there that that I had to take geography and math and a language that wasn't my first language in French? But this is all enforced by the language police in Quebec. This idea that because one person is white, has never had any kind of struggle in their life, you guys need to look to Canada and see the kind of segregation that happens there between English and French-speaking Canadians. It is wild. The it's not racism, but it certainly is institutionalized prejudice against English-speaking Canadians in a province, and it makes it very difficult. That's by design. It's by design to make it more difficult for English-speaking Canadians to be competitive in the job market for Quebec. It's designed to purify the province to what they see should be the ideal, which is an entirely French provincial government and culture. So it's amazing to me that people in the United States don't realize the kind of institutionalized discrimination that actually exists in this world when you contrast with the United States and just how different it is.
Well, you know what? We can talk more about that, or you can talk more about that with Dana, or online, tweet Stephen and at Stephen Crowder. And thanks for coming on. I had a great time. Thanks, Stephen.
Thank you so much, Stacey. Appreciate it.
All right. Talk to you soon. That was Stephen Crowder, Louder with Crowder. And I'm Stacey. And I'm Stacey on the right. And you're listening to The Dana Show on FM News Talk 97.1. Keep it here, guys.
This is The Dana Show.
Talk lines are open now at 314-969-9797 or toll free at 866-455-9797. You're listening to The Dana Show.
GM and Chrysler were on the verge of collapse. Suppliers and distributors were at risk of going under. More than a million jobs across the country were on the line, and not just auto jobs, but the jobs of teachers, small business owners, and everyone in communities that depend on this great American industry. But we refused to throw in the towel and do nothing. We refused to let Detroit go bankrupt. I bet on American workers and American ingenuity, and 3 years later, that bet is paying off in a big way. Today, auto sales are the highest they've been in more than 4 years.
And who was that? Who said that? Whose voice were we just listening to? Am I awake? Is this real? Did that just happen? Did he actually say that? Well, yes, he did. That was President Barack Obama speaking not too long ago about the successes. My quote fingers are out, guys. Successes of his administration and the massive bailouts when the American people and taxpayers were forced to become subsidizers of the auto industry and how well that worked out. You know, it's just more proof that President Barack Obama loves to make claims about the successes of his programs and his ideas and his policies. And when the rubber meets the road, when it's time to put the actual facts of what's happened up against what he said would happen, he is found wanting. His ideas actually bite. And this is one of them. And he owns it. There's no blaming Bush on this one. This is a total failure of something that he said to the American people. He promised us that if we bailed out Detroit, everything would be fine. So we've given our money. We've paid. We're working 3 and 4 months of the year just to pay our tax burdens in this country. And he's taking our money and he's bailing out unions and he's pluffing up pension funds and doing whatever else his little wily heart desires. And the proof is right here in front of us. They just declared bankruptcy. So, I mean, I hate to be the one to call you on it. Okay, that's not true. I'm fine with calling you on it. I'm enjoying myself. I'm enjoying the sound of my voice going out over the airwaves into your ears while I call him out on this utter failure. Next, what else you got? What else do you have, President Obama? Yeah. We're waiting. We are waiting on you. So, yeah, that was pretty awesome. That clip of him, I found that last night, and I thought, I've got to put this up there. Don't forget to visit the website, y'all, 971talk.com/Dana, stacyontheright.com. Visit me on Twitter. Follow me at Stacey on the Right. Yes, I'm Stacey on the Right because I'm on the right side of the political spectrum. You want to take a quick call, or do we have time for that?
We're going to take a break.
We're going to take a break right now. And, yeah, when we get back, we are going to talk even more awesome stuff, like how we're winning with Planned Parenthood, how we're beating them into the ground. The pro-life movement is kicking tail in Texas. That's where it all started. And headlines, father, son, and grandson, drug bust. Let me give you a hint. Florida man. This is Stacy. I'm sitting in the chair for Dana Lash on FM News Talk 97.1. Keep it here, guys.
This is The Dana Show.